This is the Archaeology News Weekly, and I'm David Connolly, now fresh back from a holiday in France, and with you to bring you the news from around the world. This news is brought to you in partnership between Stone Pages and the British Archaeological Jobs and Resources website. All the stories have been collected from various sources, and to view details on each story, including the source, please see the Stone Pages website at news.stonepages.com. And now the headlines from around the world are as follows. 5,000-year-old graffiti at Tarxian temples in Malta is to be saved. Prehistoric weapons and tools are discovered in Romania. And the Time team return in search of an Iron Age roundhouse in the UK. Smugglers force archaeologists to excavate an Iranian mound. And the earliest Chinese characters are unearthed at a 4,500-year-old city. We also have news on the Symposium of Monument Preservation in Europe and also a Lost Civilizations lecture series in England. Archaeologists find Bronze Age anchors in Cyprus, while in Scotland there is further news on an Iron Age town discovered under Inverness. Research probes how the first farmers lived in Austria, and sadly a funding rejection threatens Willamay art research in Australia. Ancient stamps dating back 5,000 BCE are unearthed in Turkey, and the famous Ringlemere Bronze Age cup is returning to the county. Finally, ancient Stonehenge houses are unearthed. Heritage Malta is currently undertaking the preservation of two unique megaliths at Tarxian temples as part of the Temples Project. These megaliths are significant because they bear witness to the vessels that transported the very first people to the Maltese islands and may well be the oldest representations of ships or boats ever discovered. The temples, dating back to around 3600 BCE, hold an impressive number of prehistoric works of art, consisting mostly of megaliths carved in relief to depict various animals, spirals and other intricate designs. The majority were moved indoors to the National Museum of Archaeology in 1956 to prevent deterioration from exposure to the elements. The so-called ship graffiti megaliths were not moved from the site at the time as they appeared to be in good condition. However, continuous exposure to fluctuating temperatures, wind, rainfall and humidity have led to a rapid deterioration of the megaliths. Should they be left on site, the graffiti will certainly be lost. Heritage Malta is now making preparations to move these megaliths indoors. The ship graffiti megaliths will initially be placed within the existing visitors' buildings at the Tarxian temples, where Heritage Malta's conservators will be able to carry out any additional interventions to ensure their preservation. The megaliths will eventually be displayed within the new visitors' centre, which shall be constructed close to the site. Bronze weapons and tools dating back to the 3rd millennium BCE were discovered in Pir, Satu Mare County in northern Romania. Archaeologist Livio Marta said it was the biggest collection of prehistoric objects discovered in that area in the past 30 years. They include two spearheads, 17 battle axes and three scythes. Eight axes were discovered in the same place only a few years ago. Fields near Forfar in Angus, Scotland are slowly giving up the secrets of the past, but with this harvest comes new mysteries. Amateur archaeologists will be back there as part of a major excavation of the site. Experts believe that they may have stumbled across an Iron Age roundhouse after combing the field inch by inch as they try to piece together the area's history. The latest discovery is in a field where searchers organised by Kennettles and District Heritage Group found ring-marked stones and a Neolithic mace head. Last month, John Sheriff, archaeologist for the Royal Commission on Ancient and Historic Monuments of Scotland, supervised the digging of a large trench in the area where the mace head was picked up during field walking in February. Although there were some large slabs lying on the surface, similar to those ploughed up frequently, they found what they believed to be a cobble-paved area. An earlier aerial survey suggesting there are earth houses or souterrains, usually Iron Age in date, elsewhere in the field. After discussions with colleagues at Royal Commission in Edinburgh, Mr. Sheriff believes that there's an Iron Age roundhouse there. A geophysical survey of parts of the field was carried out last month by Peter Morris, a geophysicist who lives in Fife, and although it didn't give any clues about the best place to excavate, it did give members of the heritage group and other enthusiasts an interesting insight into the technique. Illicit excavations by smugglers at the 3,000-year-old Babajan mound in Lorestan province in Iran have drawn a team of archaeologists to the site to save the rest of the artefacts. safeguarding the Baba Jan mound faces many problems due to the fact that the site is located in a very mountainous region. The path leading to the site is difficult, but the smugglers, most of whom are local, can easily get there. The smugglers have almost completely excavated the cemetery, and the site has been seriously damaged by numerous illicit excavations, but the team hopes that they can save at least a few intact graves. Baba Jan Mound has not been excavated before, but initial studies indicate that the site dates back to around 1300 BCE. Archaeologists have discovered pottery bearing inscriptions dating back 4,500 years, which could prove to be China's earliest example of written language. These pottery fragments, found in ruins of an ancient city in Henan province, are believed to be part of a spinning wheel. A photo showed a piece of black pottery bearing a white stroke. The inscriptions are similar in shape to the Ba Guan writings, an octagonal diagram which is a fundamental philosophical concept of ancient China. The discovery of the inscriptions on the spinning wheel proves that Pinglangtai, where the ruins are located, could be one of the birthplaces of Chinese civilization. Before the discovery, the earliest known Chinese characters are inscriptions on bones and tortoise shell, known as the Oracle Bones, buried in the royal tombs of the Shang Dynasty 3,000 years ago. They were used by oracles to divine auguries from the gods. Inscriptions on these bones, one of the oldest forms of writing in the world, resemble the cuneiform writing of the ancient Near East and the hieroglyphic writing of ancient Egypt. On the occasion of the Leipzig Monument Fair, which is October the 25th to 28th, a symposium will be devoted to monument preservation in Europe. Current trends in dealing with our historical heritage will be held. Representatives from 8 European countries will give an update on focal points of interest, as well as on current trends in dealing with historical heritage in their respective countries. At the suggestion of English Heritage, a discussion group entitled European Heritage Heads Forum, made up of the heads of the European Monument Authorities, was set up at the end of April 2006 in order to improve collaboration with regard to monument preservation. It aims to promote the exchange of information with regard to all areas of monument preservation, to support and expand existing networks, as well as to investigate the economic and social impact of investment in monument preservation measures. The Congress is being organised jointly by the National Monument Preservation Association and the German National Committee for Monument Protection. Participation is free of charge. The conference will be held in both German and English. More information about this can be found on the Stone Pages news website. Bournemouth University is organising a public lecture series open to all called It's a Wonderful World, Lost Civilizations. Among the subjects worth mentioning is Beyond Stonehenge, about the Preseli Bluestones, which will illustrate Professor Tim Darvall's and Professor Geoffrey Wainwright's new research, recognised as being a groundbreaking and innovative study of the origins of the world's oldest and most famous monument. Held Thursday the 30th of November at the Alsbrook Lecture Theatre in Bournemouth in England. For more information or to register a place, contact www.bournemouth.ac.uk/conservation. A team of maritime archaeologists from the UK have uncovered 120 stone anchors off the coast of Paphos. The anchors, some of which date back to the Bronze Age, are the second largest collection in the eastern Mediterranean. The fact that so many anchors have been found at the same site suggests that the area may have once been an important port, serving the maritime traders on the busy trade routes to and from the east. There have also been suggestions that the port may have been used to transport pilgrims to and from Palli Paphos and the sanctuary of Aphrodite from all around the Mediterranean world. The peaceful conditions that prevailed during the Late Bronze Age allowed trade in the eastern Mediterranean to flourish, and Cyprus became a trade hub. The exact chronology of the anchors has not yet been determined, but the archaeologists are fairly sure that some date back to the Bronze Age. The team have been working to survey the area with the aim of creating the first digital archive of an underwater site in Cyprus. The information from the survey is currently being processed at Cambridge University and will soon be made available for analysis. There are plans to conduct further investigation of the site next year. The remains of a 2,000-year-old town have been discovered under Inverness, and it is being hailed as one of the most important recent discoveries in Scotland. The find near Inverness Royal Academy was uncovered by a team who spent almost a year excavating the remains of seven large roundhouses and almost a dozen iron kilns. Last year, the team from Headland Archaeology had uncovered the ancient town's industrial estate, where iron was smelted, bronze was cast, and glass was produced. But at the final event of the Highland Archaeology Fortnight, archaeologist Ross Murray gave further details about what he and his colleagues had discovered so far about the town that once stood at the eastern end of the Great Glen. It seems they had a large industrialised production setup and would have been producing goods for trade with other countries. Among the items found below a site near Inverness Royal Academy were part of a bronze horse harness, an enamel bronze brooch, dozens of woodworking tools and a large iron sword. They found boxes upon boxes of iron and bronze objects, and these are all now at the National Museums of Scotland being analysed. What is already obvious was the wealth of the settlement, and they are feeling they've only just clipped part of the industrial zone. The rest is now covered by earlier development at Culduthel. Over the next few months, experts at the National Museum will analyse samples to assess where the iron ore used in the kilns came from and study fragments of ancient wooden beams to provide an accurate date for some of the buildings in this ancient settlement. Just as part of modern Culduthel stands on top of the Iron Age settlement, it too was built over the remains of a much earlier Neolithic community from 5,000 years ago. These remains will also be investigated to learn more about the earliest inhabitants' lives. The living conditions of the first farmers from the early Stone Age are being comprehensively reconstructed for the first time ever in Austria. This has been made possible by an interdisciplinary research project currently underway aimed at the thorough investigation of two early settlements. The project, supported by the Austrian Science Fund, is expected to produce results that will be of great significance throughout Europe. The people that established Central Europe's first farms in the late 6th millennium BCE were not behind the times. Indeed, a combination of arable agriculture and animal husbandry was already being operated in this period. Two agricultural settlements are being closely scrutinised in order to create a detailed picture of the life of an early farmer. Over the next 2 years, a team will be examining finds such as animal bones, plant remains, pottery and stone tools. Examining these finds should help to clear up a number of issues, and their aim is not just to find out the significance of cultivation of crops as opposed to collecting wild plants or which domesticated animals are being kept. They're also interested in the economic structures and the relations and hierarchies both between and within the settlements. The project is based on two sites discovered in Lower Austria that are located only a few kilometres apart, Mold and Rosenberg. The 4-hectare site at Mold has produced finds of extraordinary quality. Finds awaiting examination include some 60 kilos of well-preserved animal bones and an unusually sized dwelling, which is unique in Austria and which has few equals throughout Europe. Rosenberg presents something of a mystery, though. Preliminary investigations of this much smaller site reveal it to be quite an unusual settlement. The project now aims to shed light on the purpose of a large number of unusual slit pits and the odd location of the site in the middle of a wooded area. A precise timeline for both sites can only be established by examining a broad range of samples with C14 radiocarbon dating at Vienna-based Vera Laboratory. Moreover, botanists and zoologists are also working alongside archaeologists to uncover traces of the first farmers. At the moment, they're collecting and examining animal bones and plant remains. Pottery finds are being entered into an image database, and plans of the buildings are being digitised to enable computer-generated analysis in the next stage. The entire investigation project will be completed in summer 2008 and will be the first to reconstruct every aspect of life as a Stone Age farmer in Austria. Fieldwork in what is believed to be one of the most significant rock art sites in Australia has stalled after federal government declined to fund further research. Scientists exploring the Wollemae National Park northwest of Sydney recently announced the discovery of numerous shelters, many with rock drawings and stencils up to 5,000 years old. But now the archaeologists are being forced to look for international funding to continue their work and cannot even afford a day trip to the remote area to protect vulnerable sites from damage by bushfires. The largest and most significant site, an engraved platform, is at immediate risk. The platform features large eagle and koala figures and images of what are believed to be ancestral beings. There's a lot of vegetation around the edge of the platform, and fallen tree limbs will provide fuel for bushfires. And if there's a bushfire in the next few months, there is a risk that some of the engravings just will not survive. Professor Tacon says the Australian Research Council informed him last week that his grant application, worth several hundred thousand dollars a year over the next 5 years, has been knocked back in favour of international projects. Most of the money went for people working on archaeological projects overseas, he said. The researchers are currently talking to a New Zealand company for funding to help them return for more survey work in April. An Australian Research Council spokesman could not comment on individual funding applications, but confirmed some applications for international archaeological projects were successful in the last round. Excavations in the Harran district of San Urfa have uncovered a stamp dating back to between 4 to 5,000 BCE. The excavations have been ongoing in Turkey since 1983, and that recent work in that area has focused on the Harran tumulus and Ulujami, as well as the Neolithic settlement at Tel Idris. The work has indicated that the first inhabitants of Harran lived at Tel Idris, dating back to around 8,000 BCE. The team found some stamps with different shapes and motifs, as well as a bull figure dating back to 6,000 BCE in last year's excavations. The findings show that the people of Harran and Tel Idris lived together around 9,000 to 10,000 years ago, and that the people of Tel Idris eventually abandoned it and moved to the Harran tumulus in later years. The Tel Idris excavations conducted this year, on the other hand, uncovered a stamp dating back to around 4 to 5,000 BCE. A bronze artefact found on a Kent farm in England 5 years ago and acquired by the British Museum has returned to the area for a special exhibition. Declared a national treasure, the 4,000-year-old Ringlemere Gold Cup has been on display in London since its discovery in Woodnesborough. The cup has now been loaned to the Dover Museum until the end of February 2007. The cup, which was found with the aid of a metal detector by Cliff Bradshaw, is one of only seven found in Europe. It will be on public view from Tuesday, alongside the 3,600-year-old Bronze Age boat found in Dover in 1992. The Ringlemere Gold Cup, found in November 2001, dates from between 1,700 and 1,500 BCE and is made of beaten gold. Archaeologists discovered a previously unsuspected funeral site from the early Bronze Age on the site where it was found. In its time, it would have been a highly valuable object, and its deliberate burial represented the giving up of a great deal of wealth by a person or community that owned it. It was acquired for the British Museum through funding from the Heritage Lottery Fund, the National Art Collections Fund, and Friends of the British Museum. Nine Neolithic-era buildings have been excavated in the Stonehenge World Heritage Site, according to a report in the journal British Archaeology. The structures, which appear to have been homes, date to 2,600 to 2,500 BCE and were contemporary with the earliest stone settings at the site. They are the first house-like structures to be discovered there, and Julian Thomas, who worked on the project and is chair of the archaeology department at Manchester University in England, said Stonehenge could have been a key gathering place at the Neolithic era's version of a housing development. The buildings all had plaster floors and timber frames, and most have a central hearth. Two, including a house possibly inhabited by the community chief or priest, were enclosed by ringed ditches, the largest measuring 131 feet across. Post holes indicated by a wooden fence would have surrounded the smaller of the two structures. Near the building were remnants of grooved pottery, characteristics of the period, along with stone tools. The findings suggest that people lived at the site around 4,600 years ago, and Thomas thinks that many more residences could once have stood there. Mike Pitts, the editor of British Archaeology and a leading expert on Stonehenge, said the two isolated buildings at the site may have been shrines and not residences. But he thinks it's also possible the buildings were home of Stone Age VIPs. Perhaps they did house chiefs or powerful priests, he added. Work is continuing, but it's clear that at last we're starting to see an exceptional archaeology, which would be expected to be found in a landscape that until recently was thought to be almost empty, except, of course, at its centre for Stonehenge. Excavation work is expected to continue over the next 3 summers. And now, a special request and offer to people. If you're interested in the archaeology and heritage of the UK, then why not join the Council for British Archaeology? You get 6 stunning magazines a year, that's the British Archaeology magazine, and special offers and discounts on publications. And you'll also help to fund the CBA in its work to raise the profile of archaeology in the UK. To join, you can go to www.britarch.ac.uk/shop and choose your subscription. Or for a discounted rate of £28 for people in the UK, please go to www.bajr.org and click on the link at the top of the page. Don't forget to mention Badger and Stone Pages, by the way, when you join. Well worth it. Once again, can I remind people that many new archaeological and heritage employment opportunities, as well as a UK heritage calendar, library and guidance sections, can be found on Badger. That's www.bajr.org. And more can always be found at Stone Pages, news.stonepages.com. Thanks very much for listening to Archaeology News Weekly. We hope you'll return again next week.